worry about anything but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 15. Again, Ephesians 5, starting at verse 15. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Again, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 33. And then Hebrews chapter 13, verse 4, marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Thank you, Father, once again for the privilege of being able to open your word every day and spend time with you one-on-one as you speak words of wisdom, eternal wisdom, power, and grace, words that will bless us, guide us, mold us, and shape us to become more and more like you. Father, anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would cause us to have a continual hunger for your word, the hunger that we should have for your word, and anoint us afresh with the spirit of grace that would cause us to be much, that would empower us to be much more faithful hearers and doers of your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much that you were able to bring form to a formless void. Thank you so much that you're able to bring light from the darkness. And thank you so much that you can bring life from our mistakes, from our mishaps, from our rebellion. Thank you so much, Father, that you have so much grace and peace for us. And thank you again so much that you are so gentle with calling us, that you don't force us to follow you, but you offer us something so much better and leave it up to us to choose you. Thank you so much, Father, that you empower us so that we can choose you. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you once again for all of our listening family, for so many that have called in and made pledges to help us with the campaign that we're doing with the great ministry, Preborn. Again, the ministry, the National Pro-Life Ministry, Preborn, and American Family Radio have been partnering over the last couple weeks. The goal was to receive the monies for at least 4,500 free ultrasounds to help provide an opportunity for moms to choose life for their babies. And praise God, by the grace of God, we've surpassed that goal. God did it, and we thank him for it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for helping us to reach the goal. We've actually gone beyond 5,000. And so, but if you haven't pledged yet and still want to help us to provide even more free ultrasounds, there's still opportunity. If you'd like to call in to make a pledge to do that, keep in mind, Preborn is a ministry that's working directly against the tragic abortion of the abortion industry in our culture. And Preborn is the largest provider of free ultrasounds in the U.S. By letting a woman see her baby on the ultrasound and hear the heartbeat, a baby's chance for life for an abortion-minded mom literally is doubled or more. So since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation, providing life-saving ultrasounds. Your gift of $28 provides one woman seeking an ultrasound, who's considering seeking an abortion, one free ultrasound, giving the mom the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides five free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. To call in to make a pledge to help with this very important goal and to support the work of the Ministry of Preborn, call 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go online to give to AFR.net. Again, that's AFR.net. Thank you again for being a part of our listening family. Today, we're looking at part three of a series in which we've been sharing on the topic of relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. And keep in mind, this is a very important part of the lives of human beings all over the world. And of course, it's wise for us to really find out what God's counsel has to say. The Bible has a lot to say about these very important topics. And it's important for us as believers to seek to honor God in this area of our lives. As men and women of God, as husbands and wives, as dads and moms, as well as one of the very important goals is that not only do we learn these truths and insights to live them ourselves, but we're to learn them as parents to teach and train our children in the truths of God's word when it comes to these areas of life. How tragic it is that for so many are not looking to the word of God for counsel and guidance and understanding from the Bible. They're looking to the world, and the world always brings perversion. It brings wrong information. It brings wicked information, which leads to death. So looking to the word of God is definitely the direction for the people of God. So again, as we look at part three of the topic, relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view, we're encouraging you, please take time to go write down the scriptures that we share from and go back and read over them again. I hope that you'll genuinely take time to do that. Now, we've mentioned, I think, on both the last two broadcasts, seven specific areas in marriage that can often be areas of conflict. And remember that the fact is every marriage faces challenges. But these are seven that are especially common in our culture today. And it's important to understand this, that many times couples that stay together and couples that go their separate ways very often face the same challenges. It's just the way they choose to deal with them often can be so, so different. Some may choose to look to God and ask God to help them work through them and trust God and allow God to help them to be victorious through these challenges. And then sadly, some may just give up and decide just to go their separate ways. Remember this, marriage is God's idea. God ordained marriage, and it's a beautiful estate. It's to glorify the Lord. So our goal is to seek to preserve our marriages as strong institutions for the glory of the Lord. Let me mention once again, and keep in mind, it's important that we're really paying attention to the scriptures. Again, Hebrews 13:4 again tells us marriage is to be held in honor among all, and the marriage bed is to be undefiled. For fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. Fornication is, of course, when people are involved with one another sexually outside of marriage, and that's always sin. There's never no exceptions to that. Sex outside of marriage is always wrong. It's always a sin. Adulterers is when someone who is married is involved sexually with someone that they're not married to, so they're unfaithful to their spouse. Both are areas of sin. And if one is worse than the other, I think it would clearly be adultery because, again, it involves breaking covenant. And so it's important to know, too, both of them are to be avoided. So as we look at these seven areas, let me mention to you once again, these are seven challenging areas that often married couples will deal with, whether they're newly married or been married for a few years or been married for a long time. Without the help of God, many times again, it may continue to be an area of challenge or difficulty in a marriage and can cause more and more trouble. Those seven areas are money, the use of money. Number two, intimacy, that is the sexual relationship. Number three, undesirable friends. Number four, household division of labor. Who will do what in the home? Number five, parenting differences, the approach that the husband or the wife may take when children come on the scene in the marriage. Number six, addictions, and there are many different kinds of addictions. And then seven, communication. Now, keep in mind, all of these are areas that our encouragement to you is that every husband and wife listening, that you'll take time to pray for God's guidance and help over each of these areas, because, again, all of them are areas that the devil will try to bring trouble, difficulty, and division over if you're not careful. So praying over each of these areas of challenge in your marriage is a very, very wise thing for every couple to do. So now, again, the passage that we've read, Ephesians 5, verses 15 to 33, I want to encourage every single couple listening, take time as a couple to read through them and talk about them and to pray over that passage as well, because it has clear guidance and direction to help you to be a better husband, to be a better wife, a wiser husband, a wiser wife as well. But also, parents, these are things that we're to not only learn and live, these are truths and insights we're to teach and pass on to our children as well. So it's important that we do that. So again, looking at the seven common areas of marital challenge or marital problems that couples often deal with, the first one we mentioned is money. Again, the fact is that, again, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. But the fact is the devil will try hard to cause husbands and wives to have all kinds of differences in their approach to how they use money and where their priorities are to be set. It's very important that we, again, we're wise to ask God for wisdom, guidance, and grace to do that. We're going to take time specifically to do that even now. Father, thank you for every couple listening right now, and thank you for your hand of grace upon them and their relationship. Father, thank you for each of these relationships. Bless each couple and their relationship indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain, in Jesus' name. And specifically, Father, when it comes to money, give each couple listening wisdom when it comes to working together in unity in the way they use money. Help them to honor you in the way they use the money that you bless them with. Help them to be wise enough to pray daily for wisdom in the way they use their money, knowing that, again, money is simply a tool, but it's a tool through which we're to serve you and to honor you in our lives as well. Anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace that would encourage us as couples, every couple listening, that we would take time daily to pray for wisdom in the way we handle and utilize money. Help us. Thank you for how that you're going to help us to use it for your glory. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, the second area that we've mentioned is the area of intimacy. And keep in mind, that is the sexual relationship within a marriage. That's a very important part of any and every marriage. Many married couples feel that their sex lives become less exciting as the years go by. And when intimate encounters become fewer and far in between, it can lead to feelings of inadequacy or doubt for both partners or isolation. It's important to know that God's word has a lot to say about that. We're going to look in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and look at what God's word has to say about that very important topic. Father, anoint us all afresh with the spirit of wisdom and grace. Help us more and more to seek to glorify you in our marriages and our homes in every area of our lives. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, relationship, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. We'll be right back.
My heart cries
music of Covenant Church with My Heart Cries. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking at part three of a series entitled Relationships, Sexuality, and Marriage, A Bible Point of View. We're about to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And again, we've been talking about seven areas of challenge, seven areas where often the devil will try to get a foothold to cause difficulty or problems in marriage. Again, those seven areas include number one, money. Number two, intimacy or the sexual relationship within marriage. Number three, undesirable friends. Number four, household divisions of labor. Number five, parenting differences, different perspectives on parenting. Number six, addictions. And number seven, communication. All of these, we're encouraging every single couple listening to take time to pray for God to help you, to give you wisdom, grace, and insight in honoring Him in that area of your marriage. Really take time to pray about it. If you think to yourself, well, we're not really having any problems in this particular area of our lives, well, pray about it anyway, because whatever may be going right, God can bless it to go even better. But on the other hand, the fact is many marriages have challenges and difficulties in these different areas. So again, as we're looking at the topic number two, intimacy in marriage or the sexual relationship, listen to what 1 Corinthians chapter 7 has to say, because it actually has a lot to say to married couples about the sexual relationship. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, beginning at verse 1. Now, regarding the questions you asked in your letter, yes, it is good to abstain from sexual relations, but because there is so much sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife, and each woman should have her own husband. The husband should fulfill his wife's sexual needs, and the wife should fulfill her husband's needs. The wife gives authority over her body to her husband, and the husband gives authority over his body to his wife. Do not deprive each other of sexual relations unless you both agree to refrain from sexual intimacy for a limited time so you can give yourselves more completely to prayer. Afterward, you should come together again so that Satan won't be able to tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as a concession, not as a command, but I wish everyone were single, just as I am. Yet each person has a special gift from God of one kind or another. So I say to those who aren't married and to widows, it's better to stay unmarried, just as I am. But if they can't control themselves, they should go ahead and marry. It's better to marry than to burn with lust. But for those who are married, I have a command that comes not from me, but from the Lord. A wife must not leave her husband, but if she does leave him, let her remain single or else be reconciled to him, and the husband must not leave his wife. Verses 1 to 11, 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Now, the whole chapter actually is a very powerful chapter that has insight for every couple. So I would encourage every couple listening, take time to read through chapter 7 and pray and ask God for grace and wisdom to grow in your understanding of how to really live that out. Now, the chapter deals with a number of different topics, but amongst other things, it deals very directly with the topic of the intimate relationship between a husband and wife, the sexual relationship specifically. Now, again, keep in mind, some might think, well, is that really an appropriate topic to talk about? The Bible deals with it very heavily. And again, remember, it's a big area of life, and also it's a big area of temptation for people. So yes, it should be dealt with probably a whole lot more than it often is dealt with in church circles, in Bible study circles, from the pulpit, in Sunday school. But the fact is, remember, this part of life, our life as it relates to relationships, our sexuality, marriage, this is a huge part of life, a very important part of life. So, yes, it's very important to find out what the Bible has to say. Now, amongst other things, keep in mind, as we've mentioned, the Bible is very clear. The sexual relationship is to happen only within the bounds of marriage between a married man and woman, a husband and wife, not between boyfriend and girlfriend, not between casual friends, not between two fellas, not between two women either. And it's important to understand, no matter how close a boyfriend and girlfriend might be, if they're involved sexually outside of marriage, it's a sinful relationship. It is not good for them, and it will lead to trouble and difficulty in their lives. And keep in mind, it's a very important truth for women to be mindful of, is that this is true. Boyfriends shouldn't have husband privileges, period. That's an important reality. And it's important to know, too, that women are mindful of the fact that if this man genuinely loves you, he should be willing to marry you. And if he is not willing to marry you, then he has no business being involved with you sexually. And the fact is that man and woman, they're abusing one another when they're involved sexually with one another outside of marriage. But within the marriage bounds, it's important to understand the sexual relationship is very, very important. And one of the things 1 Corinthians chapter 7 points out is that the husband's body doesn't belong to him, just himself. His body belongs to his wife. The wife's body doesn't just belong to herself. Her body belongs to the husband. And that's what the Word of God lets us know as well. Now, one of the challenges within marriage is the reality is too often sometimes when husbands and wives have differences, either the husband or the wife may sort of, quote unquote, punish the other by abstaining from the sexual relationship. Based on the counsel of 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it's wrong for a husband or wife to deny one another. Now, someone might say, well, what if one of them's tired or been working real hard and they just don't feel like it? Listen to the counsel of the Word of God. Husbands and wives should have an open door policy with one another, period. That's a part of the marriage bond, the marriage bed. Now, keep in mind, that may sound different. Some might think, I've never heard that before. Read 1 Corinthians chapter 7 again and again until you clearly understand what God is saying. The husband's body belongs to the wife. The wife's body belongs to the husband. So they should work through that and have an open door policy with one another. Keep in mind, the sexual union nourishes a marriage. It's good for a marriage, and it's tragic. And I think of this in my just about 50 years as a pastor, it's kind of tragic to me how often you may hear of a situation where sometimes people make the mistake of thinking, well, because they've been married for so long that they feel like, well, that's just not an important part of our life anymore. Keep in mind, the sexual union is always to be an important part of the life of every husband and wife. Now, when maybe illness sets in and it's difficult for one or both to be involved, a wise thing to do is, again, pray over your intimate relationship. In just a moment, we're going to take time to do that because it's important that you understand, yes, the sexual union is important to marriage. And it nourishes your marriage and blesses your marriage. Neither the husband or wife should ever come to a place where they feel like, well, we don't need that anymore. That's not important, or we're getting too old for that. That's not biblical. As long as they're able, then it should be an important part of marriage, and it should be something that a couple will always work at. If they have, maybe one has had surgery or difficulty or some sort of physical challenge, ask God for wisdom as to how to work through that. But the fact is, always work at the sexual union. Why? Because it nourishes your marriage and it glorifies God when husband and wife come together under him as they should, according to the wisdom of God's word. So the sexual relationship is an important part of marriage. So 1 Corinthians chapter 7 is a good chapter for every couple to read through and better understand what it's talking about. Father, thank you for the sexual union between every couple listening. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of these relationships. Father, anoint the sexual union in every marriage that's listening. Lord, do a perfect work, Lord. Bless and prosper that intimate relationship. Help them more and more to come together regularly as you would have them to and as they agree to. And help them to be wise enough to not abstain one from the other for whatever reason. And help us to know, Lord, that this is for your glory, to build your kingdom and to honor you. We thank you and praise you. Father, bless every sexual union indeed listening. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep it from evil that it may not cause pain. In Jesus' name, amen. A third area of challenge that we mention is in undesirable friends. Keep in mind, when a husband and wife have married, then notice, remember what the scripture says. It says, a man will leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. The husband and wife are to leave dad and mom, and they're to become one flesh. One of the purposes of the marriage ceremony is to demonstrate to the community that this man and woman are leaving their families and starting a brand new home, a brand new family, a brand new union. So the husband and wife, the goal is to arrive at oneness, to come together in unity as husband and wife, and they're to work together. So undesirable friends should not have the ability to come in and disrupt that relationship. Keep in mind, friends, potentially as it relates to a marriage, friends can potentially create conflict. Even though it's not often talked about in the context of marital issues, again, if one spouse's friends don't get along with the other spouse, it can become a big cause of friction between the partners. This is especially a problem with those friendships that start to take precedence over the relationship or the family. Keep in mind, your highest commitment, husband and wife, is first and foremost to be to God. Then you're to be committed to one another. Neither husband nor wife should have a friend that takes priority over their spouse. And so, again, it's an area of potential conflict and difficulty. Father, thank you for your sovereignty over this area in the relationship of every couple represented. Father, anoint each couple wisdom and grace to know how to not allow this to be a problem. Help each couple to be wise enough to set their priorities straight, putting you first, and then making their relationship and their marriage the priority you would have it to be. Bless them with wisdom and grace to glorify you in this matter, in this area of their life. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, then, a fourth area is in household division of labor. Who will do what in the home? You know, keep in mind, I want you to think about this. Do you sometimes feel like you're handling the majority of the cooking, cleaning, organizing, logistics that are part of every household? Well, now some may say, well, isn't that the wife's responsibility? Well, just asking that question may raise the ire of a lot of listeners. Now, husbands and wives are to prayerfully arrive at sharing responsibilities in the home. Both husband and wife both work outside the home, or even if the mom is a stay-at-home mom, there still is a need for them to work together to arrive at who will take care of what responsibilities. Now, some couples may kind of chuckle at that and think, well, where's the problem? You know, we work together fine. We've worked that out a long time ago. Wonderful. But that's not the case with every couple. You're wise to pray and ask the Lord to help you to prayerfully come up with a system whereby you work together to get things done. The fact is, in many homes, sometimes the husband may do a good bit of the cooking, which is okay if that's what he and the wife have arrived at. Often it's such that it's both husband and wife should help with the cleaning of the house. And again, the division of labor, you are to arrive at what works for you in your home and in your family. But it's important to try to come in unity and oneness on how you approach that. Lord, thank you for the wisdom and grace for every couple represented to work through this situation. Anoint every couple represented with wisdom and grace to honor you in the way they divide the responsibilities in their home. Help them to work together with a spirit of grace and mutual understanding, and help them to avoid friction and difficulty and problems when it comes to responsibilities in the home. Then help us all to operate in love, in kindness, and in thoughtfulness in every area of our lives. In fact, help us to make it our goal. Help us to have an attitude of wanting to go overboard and just being a blessing to the other spouse. We thank and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. A fifth area that we mentioned was parenting differences. If a couple has children, you know that parenting and meeting their needs becomes a central part of you and your partner's lives, obviously. Everything you do comes back. Again, in everything you do as a couple more or less comes back to relate to the children in some way. But that doesn't mean that you and your partner will always agree on the way you approach the way you parent your children. This, too, is a huge area where parents are wise to pray a lot, both in their approach to parenting, pray much for wisdom and grace in how they work together in parenting, as well as praying regularly for the children. Father, thank you for every couple listening, and thank you for your hand of grace upon them. Anoint every couple with wisdom and grace to be wise when it comes to parenting. Give them wisdom and grace to know how to approach this in a way that glorifies, pleases, and honors you. And help us as couples to be wise enough to pray about this literally daily. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We're looking at the topic of relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. We'll be right back.
Do you feel the world is broken?
We do.
Do you feel the shadows deepen?
We do.
But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through?
We do.
Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Creation groaning.
It is.
Is a new creation coming?
It is.
Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst?
It is.
Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us?
He does.
Does the Spirit move among us? And is Jesus our Messiah? Hold forever those he loves.
The music of Andrew Peterson with Is He Worthy? Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, part three of the topic, the series on relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. And again, we were just before the break talking about one of the seven areas that are critical areas that challenge couples often in our culture is that of parenting differences, the way they approach raising their children. So again, every couple needs to seek the Lord's wisdom and grace. And keep in mind, too, there are times in which it's wise to seek biblical counseling, Christian counseling, because of the challenges that you're dealing with as a couple. And there's a couple should never feel shameful about that. The fact is, sometimes we need help in different ways as believers. We're wise to get the help that we need, to pray and ask the Lord to guide us in getting the help that we need. So if that includes counseling, don't feel like that's not something that you're able to do. So please be mindful of that. A sixth area of conflict is addictions. And you know, obviously, each of these seven areas of challenge are topics we could spend not only a whole broadcast, we could spend a series of broadcasts on each and every one of them. And certainly the addiction one is one of those. Addictions such as, for example, alcoholism, you know, drunkenness, the sad reality is drunkenness and alcoholism is a major problem in our culture and brings great trouble to many, many marriages. It's important that we should try to avoid, again, the goal is to avoid drunkenness ever, not just once or twice, to try to never bring that into a marriage because it causes trouble. Addiction such as drug abuse as well. A person should never get drunk, never get high, because when you're drunk or high, you don't know what you're doing. And it can lead to all kinds of problems, difficulties, and troubles in life. Many marriages have been damaged or marriages have come to an end over alcohol and or drug addictions. So these are things to be avoided as well. Other addictions include addictions, obviously the tragic problem of pornography. Pornography is a major scourge in our culture today where many people, men and sometimes women as well, struggle with it. It too is an addiction that can cause much trouble to marriages today, causes many problems. Many a marriage have ended over pornography addictions as well. It too is something to be avoided. Sometimes you have people that are addicted to video games. Now, some listeners may cringe over that and thinking, well, I didn't think that was an addiction. Sadly, yes, it's an era where some people are literally addicted to video games. Some are addicted to television and sports and things like other forms of entertainment. It's important to always keep our priorities straight. God is to be number one in our lives. And next to God, then, our family is to be a major priority in marriage, your marriage and your relationship. So if video games become a priority over your marriage or marriage matters that you have to deal with, that's a major problem. It's men maybe more so than women, but the fact is men or women can become addicted to video games. It's important to understand that even as a child, that should be limited. But when you grow up, it's important men be willing to put the video games down. Men have many more important priorities in life than playing games. And so it's important to keep it in perspective. A game is a game. It's not life. And typically it's not real life. And so it's important to not let those kinds of things get in the way. So dealing with addictions is a very, very important thing to be done for every marriage. Lord, thank you for your sovereignty over this era of conflict. Lord, thank you very once again for every couple listening. Anoint every couple with wisdom and grace and mercy in addressing these issues. Help each couple to seek you in prayer for wisdom, guidance, and grace in addressing these things as you would have them to. Anoint the prayer life of every husband and wife listening. Anoint our collective prayer life as husbands and wives. Help us to come together in prayer every day to pray over each one of these issues, and in particular, this addiction matter. Help couples to be willing to come together in prayer to seek your help. Help one or the other to be willing to confess. If they're struggling with an error, to confess it to their spouse and ask for their prayers and their help. And Lord, help couples to be willing to come together to help each other and be a blessing to each other in Jesus' name. Amen. And then the seventh area of challenge. Now, again, by no means am I saying these are the only big areas of challenge. These are just some of the biggest challenges that many marriages face in our culture. But the seventh one, again, is communication. Now, keep in mind, while a couple agrees to come together as one in marriage, the reality is that married couples are still two separate individuals. And the fact is, each person has their own perspectives, experiences, feelings, and expressions that they bring to the relationship. And so learning to communicate really is a lifelong journey. And every couple should pray and ask God to bless their communication, because the fact is it's very, very important to be able to communicate wisely, to be able to talk so that the other is listening and hearing. We all need to work at becoming good listeners as well as good and effective communicators as well. I'm reminded of an interesting illustration that I heard that made a very powerful point. It was the story of a young couple that came together. They were married, and the wife fixed the first really nice dinner that she'd ever cooked for her brand new husband, and she put a lot of time and effort and energy into it. And the husband, he thoroughly enjoyed the dinner, but they'd come from two very different households. In the wife's home, when the family finished their finish their family dinner, they'd go in the living room and sit and talk and just enjoy fellowship with one another. Whereas the husband, he came from a family that after they finished eating dinner, they would go in the living room and each of them would get a jar of peanut butter and they'd eat peanut butter. Well, one might think, well, that's a weird habit. Well, that was the family from which he came. Well, he thoroughly enjoyed the dinner his wife cooked, and so they finished dinner, and She went in the living room to have their time of fellowship, and he brought into the living room a jar of peanut butter and sat down and proceeded to eat his peanut butter. Well, the wife sat there, and she began to fume. She was so upset, she thought to herself, how dare he eat peanut butter after I fix his wonderful meal? I don't know if I ever want to cook for him ever again. And she was just sitting there quietly fuming as he very joyfully consumed his jar of peanut butter. Well, again, a big area of conflict over a lack of communication. What needed to happen was she should have graciously said, honey, I'm not very happy with the fact that you're eating peanut butter after this wonderful meal I just fixed. And he could have explained, oh, honey, this is what we've done all our lives. Me and my family, we'd come in the living room and eat peanut butter together. And so if she just communicated her feelings, they could communicate and come to an agreement. Either they could decide that she may say, well, honey, let's stop the peanut butter thing. I really don't think you should do that. Or she can get a jar of peanut butter and join him. But the fact is, communication is needed in a situation like that. A lack of communication can cause her to feel like, well, he didn't enjoy the dinner, obviously, or else he wouldn't be eating peanut butter. And with him, he had no idea there was any problem because that's what he was used to. Again, communication helps fix these kinds of things. Sort of a humorous illustration, but it makes the point. We all come from different family backgrounds, and communication helps us better learn who that other spouse is and where they come from. Praying over your communication for every couple is very, very important. Father, thank you again for every couple listening. Thank you for the opportunity each couple has of being able to learn to better and better communicate with one another, to strive to have oneness in their communication and in their relationship. Father, anoint the communication in every marriage represented listening today just anoint their communication with a mighty, mighty, mighty anointing. Bless each of the communication in every marriage indeed. Expand its territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon it. Keep her from evil that it may not cause pain in Jesus' name. And Lord, more and more, help couples to be wise enough to be mindful that they're wise to pray about their communication literally on a daily basis. And help us to be good listeners. Help us to be sensitive listeners who are listening to one another, and even more than that, who are listening to the Holy Spirit. Help us to realize that sometimes communication is not verbal at all, that we can be seen in a facial expression or in a gesture or something said or done. Help us as couples to be willing to seek your wisdom, your guidance, your grace in prayer, to be excellent communicators with one another and in the world as a whole. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, we've been looking at part three of in this series of broadcasts dealing with the topic relationships, sexuality, and marriage, a Bible point of view. And so, as we mentioned, these are seven areas that often are areas of conflict and difficulty in marriages. We're encouraging you, every couple, make it your goal to pray over all 70 of these areas. I would encourage you to consider praying over them literally every day of your life and praying the prayer of Jabez over them each day of your life. Again, those seven areas include, number one, money. Number two, intimacy, that is the sexual relationship. Number three, undesirable friends. Number four, household division of labor. Number five, parenting differences. Six, addictions. And number seven, communication. As we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you have never asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be the Lord and Savior of your life, today is a good day to be saved. If you'd like to make that eternally important step in your life and decision, would you from your heart pray this prayer with me even now to make that step and give your life to Christ? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Help me to read your word daily. Help me to pray daily. Help me to seek. Help me to seek you in prayer daily. Help me to seek to obey your word daily. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed that prayer and committed your life to Christ, we want to connect with you. We'd like to be in touch with you. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that will help you to begin to grow and grow strong in your new walk with the Lord. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please email us to get that information. We want to get it to you right away. Again, that email, joseph@afr.net. And once again, if you'd like to help provide free ultrasounds for women who may be considering an abortion, that they can have the opportunity to choose life for their babies, a gift of $28 provides one free ultrasound, 145 free ultrasounds. The number to call, 1-877-616-2396. Again, that's 1-877-616-2396. Or you can go to afr.net to give online. Again, that's afr.net. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.